You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. All right, Swarm, Beefcake is back here, and there were a couple things I wanted to discuss. I want to do a podcast specifically on the anti-whites and break them down into categories of anti-whites. Of course, that's not going to be this podcast. That would be a separate one, and that one would basically just be for a little bit of humor. We're going to treat all the anti-whites the same when we're using them to make a point, regardless of what their actual reason for being anti-white is. But before I can get to that one, there's some other stuff I wanted to talk about that have come up at Bugs recently. And apparently one argument that the anti-whites have been saying has brought up a lot of discussion. Bob mentioned it, I believe it was on the 30th last month, where they were saying that, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me at the moment, you can forgive me for that, but essentially it's when anti-whites say nobody's forcing you to intermarry, or nobody's forcing the intermarriage on you, or whatever variation of that they give you. And Bob pointed out that it's always these anti-whites insisting that white people not be allowed to have, you know, anything of our own. And that must be enforced because whites would want that. And it was basically, he was pointing out how when they say no one's forcing you to intermarry, it shows, it exposes part of the thinking of the anti-whites. You know, they just assume we need to share every part of our lives with non-whites, and that's just a given. That's just part of their worldview. Well, anyway, it led to a lot of, in my opinion, very good discussion within the Swarm about, you know, how we would effectively use tactics to make a point out of what they're saying. And I want to say that I did see a little bit of arguing, you know, and that's okay. That happens from time to time. So long as you guys are still out there posting the mantra, putting out those puddles of gray goo for the enemy to roll in. I think what happens sometimes, and I'm sure Bob has mentioned it before, because that's where I'm remembering this from, is where he said that a lot of times when we are having a discussion with another Swarm member, sometimes it turns into an argument because you're actually dealing with somebody who can think. You know, it's very, 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 very repetitive out posting this stuff and using mantra logic because it keeps coming back to the same set of memes, the exact same tactics, because we don't see any new enemy tactics. And in fact, that is part of the, you know, part of the condition of the anti-whites, part of the way they think. You know, they always use the same arguments, and they actually think that they're being, like, creative and original by doing it. And it's like you're dealing with a zombie, and you're dealing with so many zombies. When you actually deal with somebody who can think, it can be a little bit more entertaining. But I just kind of want to take the group here who's, you know, arguing over what's on the painting a little bit and pull you back away from the painting and show you the big picture overall. As long as you're out there pointing out the basics that Africa's for the Africans, Asia's for the Asians, white countries are for everybody, and that's genocide by assimilation. That's our mini mantra, but you know, that's the basics. You're out there pointing that out. You're posting the whole mantra, the long mantra, and you're also out there constantly hitting that meme of white genocide. You know, white genocide. It's being done through assimilation. You know, that whole thing that we're out there doing, the spreading of the memes, that consistent message, that's what's important. And a lot of times we want to argue tactics because we want everyone using the best tactics, and occasionally we get into a mindset of demanding perfection. Remember, this isn't about perfection. We're out there spreading memes. So if occasionally you stick your foot in your mouth, not the end of the world. Okay, I still do it. I still stick my foot in my mouth. You'll hear me do it sometimes on these podcasts. I'll blah, 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 when I'm trying to say something. It happens. And I will make mistakes. I will occasionally suggest a dated tactic, and we've got a better one now that we're using that I hadn't caught yet. You know, it happens occasionally. And there are guys on the Swarm who can come up with better retorts to the things the anti-whites say than what I do. But at the same time, so long as you're out there spreading the meme, talking about white genocide, posting the mantra, posting the mini mantra, sometimes the whole mantra doesn't fit, but we can use pieces of it, or the mini mantra. There's many different mini mantras. When I say the mini mantra, I mean Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody. It's genocide by assimilation. That's the mini mantra. But there are other mini mantras that focus on the same thinking and logic that's in the long mantra that doesn't fit everywhere, and we use those. But as long as you're out there spreading those memes, you're doing us a favor. What we wanted to get to the point to is where when whites are having discussions on things, that you basically just have open freedom for discussion on the topics of white genocide. That is the point we want to get to, is the memes, those minimum units of meaning, those themes that keep reoccurring over and over and over. And even if you get some of the other swarm members, you might not be agreeing with exactly how they're responding to the anti-white on a particular issue. Remember, they're out there spreading the meme. They're talking about white genocide. The only cardinal sin is to not call it genocide. There was an article up on White Genocide Project that was a conversation with Jared Taylor, and essentially, he doesn't want to call it genocide, and we insist on calling it genocide. That's the disagreement with him. I'd say a lot of these pro-white talk show hosts, the one thing I could suggest on a lot of their radio programs that would just make a big difference for us in general, is for our internal discussion within the pro-white community. Even the anti-mantra pro-whites could still be doing better to actually mention the meme, the theme, of white genocide. Just when you're talking about the things that are affecting white people in bad ways, just toss the word genocide in there a few more times. Toss the phrase white genocide in there, wherever it fits. Okay, taking our guns away is disarming whites so that they are more vulnerable to violence from whatever. If you're out there and you don't want to be posting the mantra and you want to be talking about violence against whites, all you got to do is just add the word genocide to it. That's genocide. Causing physical harm to members of the group is genocide under international law. Therefore, you can segue that into genocide. It's not perfect. It's not out posting the mantra with the swarm, but it's better than not mentioning genocide. That way, if somebody's lurking and they see it in your little internal discussion you're having with each other, and they're lurking and reading some of it, hey, they pick up the word white genocide and they start using it too, because that's just what we do. Monkey see, monkey do. Well, we're not necessarily monkeys, but you get the idea. Okay, they see it, they see you're talking about genocide, and then at some point another conversation just slips out of their mouth, white genocide, and it helps us out, spreading the memes. That is what is important. And we sometimes lose touch with that, and we start focusing too much on which tactic is perfect. So long as you're spreading the memes, remember, that's what's important. Okay, you don't have to win the arguments with the anti-whites. It's not about arguing. You make your point for that audience and you move on. We don't have to convince them to put their head down and go, "Oh, shucks, I didn't realize my own contradictions and how much of an anti-white prick I was being. I didn't realize that." No, I cannot recall one time dealing with an anti-white who changed his tune and realized the error of his ways. I've never argued one into that. To my knowledge, I mean, there might be some guys that have thought about it later and thought, gee, I might really have some double standards I need to reconsider. But I've never seen it. And that's not what our goal is to do. Our goal isn't to change the minds of the anti-whites. It's to seed the memes, and our enemy will do a lot of the work for us. Eventually, they have to react, they have to respond. The anti-whites love rolling in it. They absolutely love to roll in our message. The anti-whites at the top are pulling their hair out because they don't have a good response to our message, because you can't respond to a window to the truth. There is no way to tell those people to ignore what they saw behind the curtain. And of course, you can't discuss what's behind the curtain when telling them not to discuss what's behind the curtain. So that's where it gets silly. But the low-level anti-whites don't know that. And of course, the top-level anti-whites cannot tell the low-level anti-whites what not to talk about. Because if you have an anti-white professor telling his students, oh, and by the way, if you hear anybody point out that Asia's for Asians and Africa's for Africans and white countries are for everybody, and they call it genocide, don't try arguing with those people. Just ignore them. Whatever you do, just ignore it when someone wants to talk about white genocide. Whatever you do, don't touch that with a 10-foot pole. We want to stick our fingers in our ears and act like it ain't happening. Okay? If you tell them not to discuss white genocide, if you say, do not discuss white genocide, thou shall not discuss white genocide, one of the brainwashed anti-whites, bless their stupid little putrid hearts, are going to go, why? Why can't we discuss white genocide? It's stupid. It's not happening. Why can't we discuss it? Why don't you want us talking about that? That's the reason the top-level anti-whites don't teach the low-level ones to stay away from our memes. It's because if you try telling them not to talk about it, they're going to ask, why? Why can't we talk about it? It's like comedy. You can't tell them what not to talk about without talking about it. That's the position we are now in. That is a... It makes our jobs a lot easier, knowing that our message is a window to the truth. We don't have to tell people not to talk about what the enemy talks about. We want to charge into it and drop our gray goo, drop some hornet's nests, swarm it, and then just move on and let the enemy roll all around in our stuff. Not a problem. And when our enemy gives us something, we always use it to make a point. And now, that is the beauty of that thread I saw on Bob's site. I actually saw something good happening there. We were actually discussing how to deal with the enemy effectively. Okay, and there were a lot of great suggestions there, and I'm going to give some of my own here for it. You know, I did cover it, I believe, in number 11, the podcast, that I think I touched on how to cover it when they say that, you know, the interracial marriage isn't being forced on anyone. That's something the anti-whites like to discuss, and, you know, we had a big discussion over at Bugs, about how to respond to that one, and there were some good ones on there. There were a couple that I don't know, but you know, so long as you're out there spreading the meme, you know, that's the important thing. And I'm going to give you mine and explain to you why I would say these things. And there's a couple things, a couple little tips I like to give on this that that I find make sense and are effective. One of the things I love to do, as you may already know from listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp in previous episodes, one of the things I love to do is to quote international law whenever possible. Because remember, we're also spreading these memes, we're building a case against the anti-whites. Potentially, there could be trials. I don't know exactly how it would happen. I'm not really at that stage. My job is to spread a meme, okay? But it always helps us out when we can quote from international law when making a point against the anti-whites. And now, how does this relate to the interracial marriages not being forced on anyone that they're claiming? Well, of course, the conditions that lead to those interracial marriages are imposed on us by force. Okay? The conditions that lead to it are imposed. And then the interracial marriage itself is what leads to the destruction of our race. But remember, the conditions imposed are what leads to it. Okay? And there's another word I like to use, which is the word exclusive. Whites are not allowed to have anything exclusive. We are not allowed to have any exclusive businesses, any exclusive schools, or any exclusive communities. So we are forced to share every part of our lives with non-whites. We are not allowed to have an alternative. And those are the conditions of life calculated to bring about our physical destruction via the interracial marriages that those imposed conditions lead to. Those conditions are forced on us by not allowing us to have anything exclusive to ourselves. And I'm actually going to email my cliff notes here that I used for some of the options. I'm gonna say them out loud here to you guys now, and then I want them also to be copied and pasted, possibly to go with this podcast on the site, because these are as I was writing out the clips, I realized these might be useful cut and pasties for you guys. Like I say, sometimes change a word or around or two, or put a typo in there or something, so the spam filters and the desk bots don't start grabbing them. But these are the tactics I would use when somebody tries saying that nobody is forcing you to interracially marry. And I'm going to give these by numbered options here. And you'll see where I'm using dialogue from international law under Article 4. And that is something I work into it. I also like using the word exclusive. We're not allowed to have anything exclusive. That is what those conditions are. So, okay, enough rambling. With Beefcake, let's get into the options here. Option one, we are forced to share every single part of our lives with non-whites and not allowed to have any exclusive white communities. You are well aware that leads to enough interracial marriage to destroy our race, yet you claim it isn't being forced on us when we call it genocide. Option two, nobody is taking away the right of all blacks in all black countries to have anywhere exclusive to live, forcing them to integrate and share every part of their lives with non-blacks. If those conditions were imposed on blacks, would you tell them that the intermarriages it leads to isn't being forced when they call it genocide? Option three. To an anti-white, interracial marriage is the most holy of all pillars, and the conditions that lead to it are your favorite policies to destroy my race. You insist that whites must not be allowed to have anything exclusive for our race, knowing the conditions imposed on us lead to enough interracial marriage to wipe us out. Option 4. Your claim that the interracial marriages aren't forced is a straw man argument. Our point is that whites are being forced to share all our nations with non-whites, and being forced to integrate in all other parts of our lives is what leads to those intermarriages. Do you agree with such imposed conditions, even though they are calculated to eventually bring about the physical destruction of my race, also known as genocide? Option 5. Cut apart and mix up any of the above or anything else that the rest of the swarm effectively uses. Okay? Again, we keep coming back to the meme, and in this case, you know, when they say no one's forcing the interracial marriages, we point out that the conditions that lead to those marriages, or just breeding or whatever in general that leads to mixed kids, the conditions that lead to it are being forced on us. That's where the force comes in. Nobody's actually putting a gun to anyone's head or artificially inseminating anyone or anything, you know, horrendous like that, because that would make it obvious. They're doing everything they can to impose those conditions that lead to those interracial marriages, everything they can short of actually forcing that last little part at the end of a gun. But they will force every other part that leads to it, knowing that then it's going to happen a whole lot, okay? So don't let them try to get away with acting like, oh, it's just happening. No, the conditions that lead to it are being forced. And then, according to them, it just happens. No, we're not going to let them get away with that. And trying to pin down an anti-white is, as Bob said, it's like trying to nail down silly putty. Okay, they're going to try to squirm away from it. So you push, they hit you with that interracial marriage isn't being forced. Yeah, well, if the conditions that lead to it are being forced, that's what we have a problem with. Okay, if we had exclusive white communities, you wouldn't have an issue with interracial marriages threatening to wipe out our gene pool, because there wouldn't be any non-white options for anyone to marry. And if you wanted to marry a non-white, they can go live in that non-white country to do it. Okay? That's what we would have. If we were allowed to have things exclusive to ourselves, then it wouldn't be an issue. But since we're being forced to share every part of our lives with non-whites, that's what leads to those so-called voluntary interracial marriages. And they love it because they know it leads to the destruction of our race. Again, you can mix and match and make your own. I like to use the point we're not allowed to have anything exclusive, and quote international law, those are the conditions imposed on us that destroy our race physically, in whole or and in part. Okay? I love using the wording of international law. It's kind of like knowing the rules of engagement and putting them right out there on the battlefield in front of the enemy and waving it in their face. Hey, you can't say that we need to have this forced on us. It says so right here. Okay? Just... All right. I believe you guys get the point. You know, it's there are no good anti-white arguments against our mantra. In fact, everything is contained within the mantra. And you probably noticed when I mentioned, I believe it was option two up there, where I pointed out that, you know, nobody is taking away the right of all blacks in all black countries to have anywhere exclusive to live and blah, blah, blah. That part is another example of, you know, if you're ever stumped by anything, go back to the double standard that's presented in the mantra and use that to craft your response. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with including some of the terminology in international law. And when you're trying to make something concise and short in order to describe the situation of us not being allowed to have anything just for us, okay, the word I like to use is we're not allowed to have anything exclusive. And exclusive is sort of just a shortened way of saying we're not allowed to have our own communities, our own businesses, our own schools. We are not allowed to have anything exclusive. And the reason I like to use it is because when you can sum up something with a word that shortens it, that has a longer meaning to it, it enables you to type up a shorter reply, which is always good. The only replies that I thought probably wouldn't be that effective when I saw that thread with a lot of responses on it over at Bugs on this subject, the only ones I didn't think would be that useful were the ones that got longer than what I think anyone really has the attention span to read out in the real world. Remember, we're dealing with the attention deficit disorder generation. The more concise you can make it, the better. So you could use a whole paragraph to come up with the meaning of the word exclusive. You know, not allowed to have a freedom of association to associate with only other whites. You could just say we're not allowed to have anything exclusively white or for whites. Okay, the word exclusive is just a good way of summing up what a lot of those words put together mean. And that's what we're all about, is trying to condense this stuff as much as possible. That's why the mantra is kept as short as it can be. Believe it or not, if Bob could have made the mantra even shorter, he would have. All right, he needed to have everything in there that it has in it. And if there were a way to condense it better, he would. You know, our mini mantra, the Asian for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody, is genocide by assimilation. Bob liked that a lot because it summed up most of what was in the mantra. Now, it didn't list all the critical parts of it, but it's the best summary we've really seen so far. It still doesn't point out that, you know, people are saying that this assimilation and interbreeding leads to a perfect world where we're all one race and then there are no more race problems. It doesn't point out that's only the final solution to the white problem, because it's, you know, only getting rid of a race problem that only exists in white countries and white people's homes. It is not pointing out that when we point it out, the enemy calls us an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, and that anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. It doesn't point those out, but it does still, the mini mantra still does manage to point out the big overview that this whole assimilation scheme is only being done in white countries. Only white countries have to be shared with non-whites. Everyone else is allowed to have their own nations. Everyone else is allowed to have things exclusive to them. Blacks are allowed to have exclusive things. They're allowed to have exclusive countries. They're even allowed to have exclusive businesses within white countries. They're allowed to have exclusive schools within white countries. Everyone else is allowed to have exclusive things even within white countries. The only people not allowed to have anything exclusive are whites in white countries. That is, you know, the power of the word exclusive. I like to use the word exclusive simply because our enemy does not have a $1 trillion advertising campaign to combat the word exclusive. Which means that we can take that hill, put our flag on it, and use it to shorten up some of the two-paragraph long postings we're doing that could be summed up with the word exclusive. We're not allowed to have anything exclusive to ourselves, and that's what leads to enough interracial marriages to wipe us out. Okay? That's what I like about the word exclusive. I've repeated it a bunch of times so that you don't forget it when that word could be useful to you in making a concise response. Use it. Exclusive is a valuable tool. It's a valuable bullet to stick in that magazine. And for any crazy people listening to me, again, this is a war of words, and that's an allegory. Okay? The word exclusive is very useful to us. Remember to use it, and remember how to use it to shorten up what you want to say to point out those conditions being imposed on us. Part of those conditions, we're not allowed to have anything exclusive because that's what leads to those interracial marriages. And that is the best response when the enemy tries saying that the interracial marriage isn't being forced. Heck, that's the only part of it not being forced. Because they know the situation that is being forced leads to so much of it. So they don't have to enforce that part when you are enforcing all the conditions that lead to it. Actually, that could be a good response right there. You don't have to force that part when you're forcing all of the conditions that lead to it. My gosh, that's a concise response right there. I just thought of. I thought better with my mouth than I can my frontal lobe. That's why I'm talking to you right here on this. That's why I talk, because I think faster with my mouth than my frontal lobe sometimes. It took me probably an hour and a half to type up those responses in Microsoft Word to think about them carefully, but yet I can talk about them faster than I can type them up. That's just what that's why I'm talking. We got swarm members who could probably have typed up just about everything I've told you right now faster than I can tell it to you. I go on there on where did you post the monitor today, and I see some of these commandos there who look like they've taken down an enemy battalion. They got 100 posts where they've posted the mantra and mantra logic. And I click on some of these things, and quite a few of them, the enemies haven't censored what they've said because our guys are getting so good at paraphrasing things and rephrasing things to avoid the spam filters. And the enemy, sure enough, goes to work just rolling in it and spreading those memes for us. So, like I say, good work, guys. Don't demand too much perfection of each other. You can share tactics, but don't kick the puppy when he's really trying to do hard work for you, because remember, he's still out there spreading the meme, and that's the important thing. And I want you guys to keep up the good work. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of the enemy rolling in the mantra on some more news channels in the near future. And I will be back with you when I get a moment to talk about the anti-whites, and that'll be a fun one, and a sad one too, because anti-whites are kind of sad. So, you all have a good night, and thank you for listening to another Beefcakes Boot Camp. All right, platoon, that's it for today's lesson. I want you to go drop the mantra 50 times and report back.